So we saw the first handshake, the first meeting between US President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The handshake itself lasted about 12 seconds. I mean, everything was scrutinized yesterday. And then there was an air of disappointment with this four-point statement. And then an air of shock when President Trump spoke to the media later and suggested that it's happening. He's going to be ending, at least from the US perspective, war games on this peninsula. Let's now welcome on the line Mintaro Oba, former State Department diplomat specializing in the Koreas. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
And you've tweeted that you'd never gotten as many media inquiries as you have during the summit, which I guess tells its own story of how significant this is being viewed globally.
Absolutely. No matter how you assess the result, it is a historic occasion.
What was your impression, though? Any particular moments that stand out in your mind from yesterday?
Well, you know, I think the summit was more spectacle than substance. You saw the walk between the two leaders. You saw the handshake that lasted, I guess, 12 seconds. And these created a lot of warm moments and really amazing images. But I think there remain questions about how substantive this summit really was.
Well, yesterday we heard from President Trump, as I said before, suggesting he's ready to abandon the military drills that Seoul and Washington have defended for years as defensive in nature. But President Trump admitted yesterday they're provocative. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, that was a truly remarkable statement coming from a U.S. president. As you said, the U.S. line has always been that these are routine exercises that are defensive in nature. They're part of the U.S. alliance commitment to South Korea, and they're legal under international law. Now, I think there's a case being made that it is a pragmatic gesture that helps improve the atmosphere for dialogue between the U.S. and North Korea and between the two Koreas. But the president should not have questioned the legitimacy of the exercises themselves.
And we're now getting reporting from North Korea's state-run media this morning claiming that it was Chairman Kim who demanded an end to these military drills and that President Trump understood. There's a few other things I'd like to mention, but let's start with that. Maybe it's not surprising North Korea's putting its own spin on that, but if that's the case, has President Trump given away too much?
Sure. I mean, I think it's expected that North Korea is going to raise the issue of U.S.-South Korea military exercises. It's long been a sticking point for them. But that doesn't mean the United States has to accept their interpretation of the exercises. And I think the fact that President Trump made this decision shows how reactive he is and how poorly informed he is about the circumstances surrounding the exercises we do with our South Korean ally.
Yeah, because the thing is, of course, had North Korea come out with a concrete timeline or just any specific details on denuclearization, stopping military drills altogether, at least as a suspension, would have been understandable, wouldn't it? But you need to see something very clear from North Korea in return for that sort of measure, don't you?
Right, and I think we do have that. We've seen a moratorium on nuclear and missile tests from North Korea. And I'm comfortable with a suspension of U.S.-South Korean military exercises in return for a continuing cessation of North Korean missile and nuclear tests. And that would have been a pragmatic gesture, but it certainly shouldn't have been characterized as in response to legitimate North Korean concerns about the exercises.
Right.
Those are not concerns that we share.
Right. And then, of course, President Trump went even further. It was almost like doubling down when he said, you know, he didn't really want to have his troops here in Korea at all, although he seemed to recognize it wasn't possible to pull them all out right away. That's going to upset many people on this peninsula, especially in conservative circles who've been standing by waiting for Trump to punch for their corner, but it's not really ever happened.
Right. Well, the president is unusual among any U.S. leaders who've ever held that office because he's fundamentally transactional in nature rather than strategic. He thinks of alliance is almost like mafia protection rackets. And so he doesn't understand the value of the U.S. alliance commitment to South Korea and the true presence in South Korea. And I think it's a dangerous mindset to bring to the table with North Korea.
Well, speaking of the North, let's get to another one of the big headlines that will no doubt come out of the KCNA statement today. So apparently, they shared recognition to the effect that it is important to abide by the principle of step-by-step and simultaneous action in achieving peace, stability, and denuclearization. There is this emphasis on a phased approach rather than the swift, complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization process that had been promoted by the U.S. in advance. Is that another victory then for North Korea?
Well, the North Koreans have always called for phased and synchronous measures toward denuclearization as opposed to the comprehensive and immediate measures that the United States has been advocating for. So you can certainly look at the emphasis on a step-by-step approach now as a concession to North Korea, but I think it's also a concession to reality. We were never going to get quick and complete denuclearization from North Korea. They value their nuclear weapons program too much. So I think the only way we can actually make progress on this is through a step-by-step mechanism.
Well, it is the reality we were reflecting on before the summit, that it seemed impossible to get everything the U.S. was pushing for. But just to take a bird's eye view of this and hopefully look forward to a slightly brighter future and not be pessimistic, did the U.S. overall have cause for celebration with, as you said before, the moratorium on missile testing and nuclear testing that had already been agreed? This apparently, what President Trump said, was the demolition coming up of a key missile engine test site. Are there some victories in there?
Sure. I think I would give this summit a C+. It certainly didn't have anything I would call a major failure in terms of escalating tensions or making any major premature concessions to the North Koreans, but it also didn't have major substantive achievements. On the other hand, it did give President Trump and senior U.S. officials a chance to directly probe for North Korea's intentions and flexibility and maybe generate momentum for a lower-level diplomatic process on denuclearization that can yield some productive results. So I think that's something to be proud of.
They also mentioned the T word, trust. President Trump said he trusts Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-un trusts him. But that in itself might be questionable. But if it is the case, it's going to be very important for President Trump to stand by his word now, isn't it? He's famous for agreeing one thing in a meeting and then changing his mind or flip-flopping on social media. And North Korea won't take well to that if that proves to be the case.
Right. Trust is important and helpful in a negotiation, but the only thing that can really confirm someone's intent is the sincerity of their interest in doing something. And so President Trump and Kim Jong-un both have to be very clear-eyed about where the other side is coming from if they want to make progress.
Well, thank you again, Mintaro Oba, former State Department diplomat specializing in the Koreas. It's been a pleasure having you on the line, and I know this is probably just another in a long line of interviews that you've been doing in the last few hours, so we'll let you go and get a good rest now.
Always happy to talk.